I'm Scott McGrew. Welcome to Sand Hill Road.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ms. Miriam Hawk, who is the executive director of Venture Forward. Ms. Hawk, you're now recognized for a 5-minute presentation of your oral testimony. Thank you.
There are two reasons you might find yourself testifying before Congress. The first is you're in a boatload of legal trouble. The second is you're an expert in something.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify today on the important topic of diversity, equity, and inclusion in the U.S. venture capital ecosystem.
Miriam Hawk is an expert.
My name is Miriam Hawk, and I am the founding executive director of Venture Forward.
But what is that like? I mean, do you get invited to testify before Congress? How does it work?
You always, you know, say thank you for the question, and you always address the members, you know, either as chairman or chairwoman or congressman. And just remembering those types of things, like you don't just dive right into the answer, which I think I might have done at one point. It's just that type of formality that you're not used to. The other, I think, hard thing was trying to... Well, I'll say the not so hard thing was creating the written testimony, because that can be as long as you want it to
sure.
be. But at the actual hearing, you only have 5 minutes to say what you want to say. And to try to distill a very nuanced and niche part of the economy, which is venture capital, and a very nuanced discussion around diversity in venture capital, and like give that justice and explain it well in 5 minutes, I think is really hard. So that was, I think, actually the hardest part, which was to try to get that. You obviously I wanted to, you know, represent the industry well, but I also wanted to give the topic at hand, you know, justice, and really to make sure that it was, you know, we're not trying to sugarcoat things here. I think we want to be very honest about where the industry is and where it needs to go.
But Hawk testified before the House Financial Services Task Force on Financial Technology, examining funding of fintech startups. Chairman Stephen Lynch, Democrat from Massachusetts.
When we look at the founders of companies that receive this investment funding, there's an obvious trend toward white males. While lack of diversity is a trend in almost every industry that venture capitalists invest in, it is particularly troubling in the fintech space, where a significant number of fintechs specifically target underserved communities, which we know are disproportionately women and people of color.
You were invited to the Capitol because you're the executive director of Venture Forward. Explain to me what that is in an elevator pitch.
So Venture Forward is the 501c3 supporting organization to the National Venture Capital Association. So NVCA has been around for 50 years, public policy and advocacy focused. 2 years ago, we publicly launched Venture Forward to really advance diversity, equity, and inclusion, and to educate the next generation of investors. So that's been our philosophy. We want to see an industry that looks and represents more of the country and the population around us.
There are a number of women-oriented organizations that are doing, basically have the same goal. Do you coordinate with those other groups?
Yeah, I think we definitely are very complementary in terms of how we are providing different initiatives and programs to the ecosystem. I think this is a big enough challenge and issue that it really is incumbent on, you know, many organizations to really play a role here. And I think where we sort of differentiate is our focus on the investor base And then also this intersectional approach in kind of thinking about multiple elements of diversity. I would say also, you know, a couple of our programs that have just really grown over the past 2 years since we publicly launched. One is VC University, and we host this with UC Berkeley, and it is an online certificate course that is self-paced. Anyone can take it, and we have now seen more than 2,000 people come through that program. We have also a program called LP Office Hours, where we're trying to connect emerging and underrepresented fund managers with LPs. We've had 175 people come through that program. And then we're also working with VC firms themselves, because we do really think a lot of this change needs to come from within the industry. And one element that we do for this is, it actually is how we hold ourselves accountable, which is doing a survey every 2 years to collect data on not only the firm demographics, but also to better understand how firms approach talent management, talent recruitment practices, because that informs us on how we should be guiding firms, you know, what are additional resources or things that we should be producing to help them. We've hosted conversations to have some of these, just to unpack some of these challenges and issues, because we know that not everyone wants to necessarily have them in an open forum. But that's really been our focus, and I think kind of differentiates us from maybe some of the other organizations, but very much, I think, complementary to what we all have as an aligned goal for just increased diversity.
What concerns have you heard that maybe somebody wouldn't want to have in an open forum?
I think every firm is in a different place in their diversity journey. And I think it's very different than, say, corporate America, where you have these large companies, you have an HR department, you have a talent department, you kind of have people that are focused on a lot of these important issues. But VC firms, by definition and by just purely how fund economics work, tend to be small. They mostly don't have someone tasked on their team with leading DE&I. You know, a lot of the large firms now do. Even if it's a small firm, they don't have someone that's necessarily thinking about these types of issues. And so I think especially for those types of firms to kind of hear from their peers how they're just able to, like how they're adopting different practices and what they're going to do is very different than what maybe some of the larger firms are going to be doing. The other challenge is the industry doesn't have a lot of turnover. There's not a lot of, you know, open positions, if you will. It's really hard to join an existing firm, and it's really hard to raise your own fund. And so that, I think, also poses just different challenges depending on, you know, how you want to increase diversity. And it's not necessarily just if you're a general partner at a firm, maybe you're not planning to expand your team, but you can definitely take the time to mentor, you know, someone, or take the time to bring on or to create maybe a scout program or a fellowship program, just to help. I think the broader industry, even if, like, for example, like I'm not going to necessarily hire anyone new to my team, but I can also think about maybe how to increase the diversity amongst the pipeline of founders too, that I'm going to be investing in.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
One of the people who testified alongside you said her goal was to make sure her daughter would not be in front of Congress 25 years from now testifying there were not enough women in venture. What's a metric or a goal when you think to yourself, okay, well, let's turn off the lights at Venture Forward. We've accomplished it. We did it.
I think the metric for success is when the survey that we do every 2 years of representation amongst investment partners more accurately reflects the broader U.S. population. But I think we're always going to be wanting to help the industry in terms of educating the next generation of VCs. There's always going to be, you know, that element to it. And the industry evolves, it's growing, it's getting bigger. I think there's going to be new and different issues that it might be facing and challenges that need to be addressed. And I think, you know, Venture Forward hopefully will always be seen as a resource for DE&I, and it's just become ingrained in every firm, both large, small, new and young. But I think there will or could be, you know, other elements just around education that I think will continue to drive a lot of what we do and just making sure we're evolving with the industry.
How close do you think you are to that goal you mentioned of it reflecting society?
So our latest survey, which was from June of 2020, we're actually going to be back out in the field later this month with our 2022 or fielding the 2022 survey. But in 2020, 16% of investment partners were women. So we know that that is, you know, ways to go to get to parity for 50%. 3% of investment partners were Black and 3% of investment partners were Hispanic. And so that, I think, is, you know, like I said, we've seen some steady progress around gender diversity. We've seen little to no progress around race or ethnic diversity. There are two, I'd say, kind of bright spots that we've seen in the survey. One is that amongst junior investment professionals, there is more diversity. And so that is, you know, a little bit more of like thinking about the pipeline of who are going to be the senior partners of tomorrow. And then the second, I think, positive that we've seen is we collect data on how firms approach talent management and talent recruitment. And we're seeing more firms have a human capital strategy. They have a diversity strategy. They've tasked someone on their team with like actually leading this. They've thought about sharing, you know, job postings in other places beyond just sharing it with their friends. And so I think we're seeing more intentionality, which we hope will translate to more change in the demographics. But I think that's where, that there is some hope, and we are seeing some steady progress. I will say also just around the, you know, the junior investment professional side, I think there tends to be a lot of importance placed on the D and not so much importance placed on the E and the I. And what I mean by that is it's great to get underrepresented talent into the industry or add underrepresented talent into a portfolio, but there has to be the intention and the prioritization of how to foster that talent, how to help it grow, succeed, reach the next level, kind of help that journey along the way. And if there's not that support for talent, you know, regardless if it's underrepresented, it's really not, I think, taking the true sort of DE&I and also this broader, you know, better returns, better innovation concept to heart if it's really just being seen as a check the box HR thing of like, let's get some underrepresented talent in the door.
Miriam Hawk, Executive Director of Venture Forward. Next week on Sand Hill Road.
We ran out of money, not once, but repeatedly. And we were all hoping we'd be able to pay folks back. And at the end of a year or more of doing this, we were $1 million in debt to our employees, which is a terrible thing to do. First of all, it's illegal, right?
Pandora co-founder Will Glazer. And don't worry, things worked out just fine for those employees.
Every one of them is now a millionaire.
That's next week. Sandhill Road is produced by Sean Myers under the leadership of Sarah Bueno and Stephanie Adruni. For more interviews with Silicon Valley's most influential entrepreneurs, check me out on TV at Press Here. That's Sunday mornings on NBC Bay Area and everywhere in the world on iTunes and at PressHereTV.com.